have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press in to his presence. Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, hello, 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 and hello. Welcome tonight to Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm so elated that you are joining us. We are excited tonight about what we shall talk about. Oh, we left off having a very hot conversation last week, and I think the Lord is going to allow us to go even deeper on this week. So I want you to prepare yourself. I want you to tell somebody that Apostle Whitlow is on the air with Making Marriage Meaningful. And let me put this disclaimer out there. I want to make sure that you understand, I do not claim to be a relationship expert. I just have been through some things, endured some things, had some ups and some downs in relationships and in marriages, and I believe that some of the things that I have learned will help somebody who is currently in a marriage, who is probably engaged to be married or just gone through a divorce and it's been some time and you're thinking about getting married again. We want to talk to you. Now, let me put this other disclaimer out there, and it's very important that you don't miss this part. This conversation that we're about to have, this discussion we're about to embark upon, though it comes from the Word of God, please do understand that it is real. It is not fake. It is not fictitious. It is raw. We will not sugarcoat. So I want you to know we're going to talk about some real stuff. Most of all, it is relevant, especially in the time we're living in when it seems like anything is all right. So believe me, we are looking forward tonight to sharing with you. I do also want to acknowledge that I do not do this conversing and discussion by myself, so I'm not being a lecturer. However, I have a panel of men and women that have been in this marital relationship thing for some time, those who have been married and divorced, those who have been widowed, you know, and those who are just plain old single because it's their preference. At the end of the day, we're going to share from the Word of God and based upon personal experience, which means there will be some transparencies that you will encounter. So again, we welcome you to Making Marriage Meaningful. Let me see who's joining in tonight. I know that the producer of my show is here, I'm pretty certain, because she's the one who makes sure that I'm able to do this. I'm talking about the one, the only, the lovely Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Kimmy, how you doing tonight? Okay. Dr. Kimmy, are you not with us tonight? Are you on mute? Okay. Well, so much for that. Don't understand that part, but okay. Let me see. Reverend Billy Gabriel, are you joining us tonight?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening. Yes, I'm here.
Good evening. God bless you. God bless you. Let me see. Brother Chuck,
I'm
are you
sorry.
Here tonight?
My wife, I was off. I'm sorry. I'm here.
I tell you, you do me some kind of ways. I don't get it. I don't get it.
No,
I bet it's because I'm black, bald, and got gray hairs. That's what I bet. That's what I bet.
It's not intentional. I was talking, and my buffering is something, but I'm muted.
All right. Well, thank God for you tonight. I hope that all is well with you and the family in Jesus' name. Let me see. Brother Chuck, are you here tonight with us?
In living color.
Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. Praying that all is well with you. Amen. Let me see. Brother Otis, Gabriel, and your bride, are y'all with us tonight?
Yes. We are right here.
Good afternoon.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for being here. We thank God for you. Let me see. Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., are you joining us tonight, sir?
The name you had just called.
You're here? Did I hear you're here? I thought I heard him.
You did.
I thought I heard him. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Amen. Let me see. Is Apostle Vincent L. Smith here tonight? All right. Let me see. Let me double check. Let me see. Apostle Felicia Fleiff, are you here tonight?
And I'm all the way live.
All the way live. Oh, bless God for you. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Amen. Let me see. Let me see. Is there anyone who is joined in tonight who I may not know your name? If you would like to speak tonight on our podcast, please identify yourself. Going once. Going twice. All right, three times in Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you so much. All right, so listen, we're getting ready to get this this conversation started, if you will. Amen. So I'm going to ask Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. if he would be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer tonight, especially because we're 10 days away from his birthday. Amen. So come on, man of God, give us a prayer before you hit the next age. Bishop-elect Richard, did he just drop off? All right. Well, let's go. Kind Father, we thank you tonight,
yes,
Lord, for your blessings upon us.
Okay.
We thank you,
ahead,
O God, for your goodness. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you, O God, for every blessing. We pray that tonight, Father, as we endeavor to go into this conversation, that, Father, your spirit would be preeminent in the name of Jesus, and that, Father, there would be no competition. There would be, oh, God, no animosity, but, Father, only your truth and your word would be shared, oh, God, as we seek to help people to make their marriage meaningful. We're believing you for great and mighty things, and we thank you in advance, and for that, we give you praise in the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, we started something last week.
You're not the only one, Apostle. You're not the only one she does like that. So, okay, just so you
okay.
know.
Okay. So this scripture is what we began with last week. And I felt led to come back to it because there's a lot of questions that I have. One of the look in Hebrews 13, verse number 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We talked last week, beginning this subject, honoring an honorable marriage, honoring your marriage. We talked about ways to honor your marriage, how important it is that you place value on your marriage, that nothing should be more important than your marriage. It should be a priority. It should be above everything else. That's how marriage should be. It should be so important. It should be so important to you as a man or as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, to honor your marriage at any and all costs, no matter what's going on. Nothing should be able to come between your marriage. Nothing should be able to disturb your marriage. Nothing should be able to interrupt your marriage. But we find out that's not always the case. We find out there's always things that are happening and transpiring that can impact the marriage that you are supposed to value. Sometimes it's other families. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's other opportunities. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's who you work with. Sometimes it's different financial issues. So many things that we could look at that would determine how we place our marriage. And so we had a many a good thing that we shared about that. But where we left off was talking about the bed being undefiled. Now, when we began talking about this, there were some things that were stated that we wanted to make sure people understand. We started talking about allowing other things and other people into the bed when we're married. While we begin talking about that, it was stated that if the husband and the wife are in agreement, that's their business and it is okay because it's what they choose. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to make sure that we establish something, and I'm hoping I say it right. I want to establish in marriage what is considered safe sex. Then I want to look at sacred sex. And then what I want to do is I want to look at, I guess I can call it scandalous sex. So let's think about each one. Safe sex, sacred sex, scandalous sex. Because marriage is honorable in all. In every facet, marriage is honorable. In every facet, marriage is valuable. And it says, and in addition to how valuable marriage is, the bed itself is undefiled. And so when we talked about the bed being undefiled, meaning it is not stained or tainted. So if to say that, then we have to understand safe sex. What do I mean when I say safe sex? Safe sex is what belongs to the individuals in the marriage, where they are safe with what they choose to do. Safe sex is what they deem as being safe, meaning that they, if they believe it's all about missionary, he on top of her, for them, if that's safe, we have to respect that because that's their choice. Sacred sex is that which is beyond the safe, meaning because, let me go this way. It means that if he decides to do street sweeping for her, and she decides to do pole polishing for him, because that's the love that they have for each other, that's sacred. But scandalous, and this is me, scandalous sex is things like swinging, things like threesomes, menage a trois, bringing in others. This is important for a reason, because everybody does not have the same views when it comes to the bed being undefiled when you're married. This is not, and please hear me when I say this, I'm not here to judge anyone's preference. I'm not here to condemn anyone's preference, but what I am here to do is to make sure that your bed does not cause, your undefiled bed does not become a bed in hell. That's the whole purpose of this conversation. And so there's a number of things that we have to look at. So again, we got safe sex, which I have described, sacred sex, which I have described, and then scandalous sex, which I have described. Now listen, when you give your responses, please keep your response within a two-minute time frame because we want to make sure that everyone is able to share their thoughts as we go into this conversation. Please, let's do this, and let's have a good time in this conversation so we understand safe sex, sacred sex, scandalous sex. It all, we all need to make sure that we understand that marriage is honorable in all, but the bed is undefiled, and something in all of that can cause the bed to be defiled. Anybody, first of all, agree with me or disagree with me?
Okay, on three occasions. Basically, when you look at this whole thing, when you talk about safe sex in marriage, safe sex primarily, and listening to your definition, yeah, there is a level of safe sex, you know, and then I would say what would be unsafe sex, but I mean, I'm going to hold that thought for a minute because I only have 2 minutes. Sacred sex, that's definitely exclusive between husband and wife. And, of course, scandalous sex speaks for itself. Anytime you invite something into your bedroom that does not honor or glorify God, and, yes, even in the act of sexual intercourse, you glorify God, believe it or not. But anything outside of what glorifies God, well, we don't need to say that. So I'm going to hold my – that's my opening statement. I'll come back with more elaboration after everybody's had a chance to speak.
Next.
Okay, this is Brother Otis.
Yes,
when
sir.
I first hear the term safe, that has become to mean not passing on venereal disease to another person, and also safe has a connotation of not causing winding up in an unwanted pregnancy. Now the sacred sex, sacred would be having sex under what is considered the standard way, as you described, of having sex with someone, which would be probably individuals who had not had very much experience. So when it comes to having sex with both partners, they would just go with what there are, with the little knowledge about sex that they had already had at that point. And I will hold that because I have a different view about scandalous sex when we get to that one.
Okay, next.
Well, I want to jump in on this one because I really believe that when you there's no such thing as safe sex, and that's why God made it only for husband and wife. So when you do it in the way that God calls it to be, you don't need a condom or anything. So that will enhance the safe sex. And I still believe in marriage because you can have scandalous sex. It's erotic. It's just between you and your husband. I really believe the spouse, it can still do that. And what was the other S? You said safe, scandalous,
yes,
or what else?
Safe, sacred.
And it can be still sacred in the eyes of God as long as you guys agree. I don't believe in sharing, but I know people who have very great sex lives and they are married. So, and it's not always the same. It's erotic. It's scandalous. It's rough. So it just depends on how you look at it. So I think when you are married and you do everything according to the Bible as much as you can, the safe sex is eliminated, especially if you have spouses who honor marriage. And I will mute my mic.
Okay.
All right.
Like
anyone else?
Yes, please.
Okay. Come on.
Okay. Now, I've heard everybody, and I'm going to say this. The bed of marriage is between a husband and wife. Y'all determine that. It becomes adultery when you bring somebody else in. It's no longer safe when you bring somebody else in. It's no longer sacred when you bring somebody else. There's no longer a marriage when you bring somebody else. So you can't get mad if your spouse commits adultery in your face because you open the door for the devil to walk right in.
Say that.
You have allowed something to come in that should have been between one man and one woman. Then you can't get around it, you can't get over it, you can't get under it.
Wow.
There is no way you can have a good sex life, a good marriage, intimately, making love to your wife, making love to your husband while a third person is watching you. You don't even feel comfortable with your kids busting the door. So how are you going to let somebody else lay in your bed and take what's yours?
Apostle,
whether it be another man,
shoot.
Whether it be another woman.
You got to shoot,
sorry?
Apostle. I'm going to throw it at you. I just want to shoot so I can throw it at you. Go ahead, girl.
I
just
want
to shoot so I can throw it at you. That's
I look
the
at
truth.
It like this. That conversation that we had last weekend, it had me messed up. Because I was like, how in the hell? I'm going to invite somebody in to get what I'm getting from my man. Are you for real right now? He gonna allow me to give what I give to him to another man? Are you for real right now? When did that become okay? Let me tell you something. And we are raw and uncut on here. You mean to tell me I'm gonna let another woman get what I'm getting from my man in my bed, in my house, better yet, in a hotel that I don't pay for? She gonna get what I'm getting from him? I'm gonna watch him make love to her like he make love to me? Where y'all do that at?
In the movies.
That better be the only place.
Well, here's what I wanna do. I want to go here for a reason, because there's something I thought about, because we talked about it last week. We talked about bringing toys into the bedroom. Everybody was like, well, if you choose to bring toys into the bedroom because that's what you and your mate agree with, then fine. We talked about bringing videos into the bedroom. If that's what the mates agree upon, it's fine. So I thought it dawned on me. Is the bed still undefiled if a man allows his wife, who has toys, to take a toy and strap it on herself and penetrate him in his backside? Is that still sacred?
Oh, my God, no.
Because somebody needs to know.
You left Billy Gabriel out. Reverend Gabriel, I don't want to jump the gun before we hear from him. Because, I mean, really, and please don't let that question go away, because I definitely want to deal with that one.
Okay, come on, Reverend Billy and Brother Chuck. Let me hear from you.
Okay.
One of you.
Okay, this is Billy Gabriel this time.
In regard to
inviting Bob into your bedroom, Bob is my acronym for battery operated buddy. Those toys.
Bless his heart, Jesus.
Now, that being said, now that is a multi-million-dollar industry at the moment. The toys, the videos, and things of that nature. Now, if the husband and wife decide to bring those toys and things like that for better enhancement of their sexual activity, so be it. Because all too often, being realistic, honest to goodness, realistic, I know a lot of us men like to pretend that we are all that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, once we climax, and once we reach our ejaculate, you might say, reach our climax, all too often, we do not, depending on your age, we do not have an instant reload.
Mm-mm.
The wife...
Say that.
The wife all too often is still waiting. It has not reached our orgasm yet, or climax. But we are now, we are laying back, breathing hard, and trying to catch our breath, think we have done something. Now, that being said, all too often, these toys are very helpful many times to help the lady to reach her area, her climate, you might say, whatever it sounds like. There are so many types, and if I say that I don't know that, I'll be lying. There is a store within a couple of blocks from me, and I oftentimes share my personal things. It's okay. We said it's raw. And if I don't share it, I know I'm lying anyway. There are often, too often, more women in the store than men. And they advertise these things. And if the truth be told, I don't know they went on this line, but I know that all too often, I don't know anybody, as a matter of fact, all too often with their continuation of the same routine every time can be very boring. I do know that. So therefore, if the two of them invite Bob into the room from time to time for complete satisfaction, so be it. And I believe that would be a very, very happy marriage on that agreement. There is nothing deplorable. There is nothing, in my opinion, disrespectful in that, in any area. I have seen it, I witnessed it, and I personally support it. Okay, here's another one. This I got the floor at the moment. Our birthdays somehow changes our activity. As the more birthdays we acquire, the slower our motion is enhanced, it's a decline. The faster decline. So therefore, we need a little help from Bob from time to time. So I'm just saying to you, in all the cases, the industry is not for naught. And it is available for those who like to have a complete and happy marriage. And I believe that certainly is better than going out to find from calling Tyrone to help.
Jeez.
So that is... That's my opinion.
Say Lord.
So, some guy's going to call Tyrone, and that's it. And Bob is still, and you are still at the house thinking you have done something. She's on the phone right now calling Tyrone or in secretly. Well, you know the story. I don't need to go. You, all of you know where I am with that one in that arena. So, yes. Bring on Bob and just let the two of you be happy. That's what I just see on that at the moment about Bob and that industry with the toys.
Okay. Brother Chuck, did you want to add anything?
Yes. Amen.
You know what? Ain't nobody messing with you. Ain't nobody messing with you today, Brother Chuck.
So listen. So Reverend Billy says that that Bob is okay in the bedroom if it's going to help enhance. If it's going to help enhance, you know, the sexual activity and so on and so forth. Right. But my question again is, if there is a, let's call it what it is, a strap-on dildo in the bedroom, my question is the bed still undefiled if the wife takes that strapped-on dildo and enters the rectum of her husband? Because that's what they have decided.
I'm going to jump out first and say, yes, it is filed. It is defiled. It is no longer undefiled, because you have to understand something. And let me use this analogy to get right to my point. How many of you have gone up an exit ramp to get on a highway? What would happen if you get on an exit ramp to go on a highway? You either have an accident, possibly get killed. If the police catch you, you'll get a ticket, maybe even some jail time. We're just not sure what you're going to end up with. Here is where I'm going with this. Trying a wife grabbing a dildo and penetrating her husband is, first of all, and Paul talked about it in Romans, the first chapter, doing that which is unnatural. That is not natural. And I will say this, even in today's sexual revolution, the rectum was not an area that was to be penetrated. And yet in the reprobate of our minds, I'm going to say for those who are sexually perverted, in your mind, you think it's some kind of super sensation. I'm talking guys with guys and girls who buy these dildos and penetrate other girls, not just their vagina, but in their rectum. You know, it doesn't line up. It's not God ordained, nor is it God sustained. And I know it's in the privacy of your own bedroom, and I know you're married, but there are just some things that you should not be doing. That happens to be one of them. I yield the mic.
Anyone else?
Nice tonight. For some reason, I don't know why I'm being nice tonight.
Come on, let me hear from some of you. What do you think, ladies? Talk to me.
Yes.
No. Wait. You want her to do what? She gonna do what?
Come again.
I was being facetious when I said, let me explain something to y'all, and I mean this with all respect. Help me, Holy Ghost. A woman cannot be a man, and a man cannot be a woman.
Truth.
She cannot artificially have sex with a man. And y'all can let y'all mind go wherever y'all wanted to go right now. A woman that you have really, you stepped out of, again, what God was explaining about the bed of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
A woman is, I'm not a man. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Because, again, you're a lot. Y'all heard of gateways, right? I'm sure you have. If you haven't, look it up or Google it. That's a gateway.
It is.
So now you open up a gateway, and now he want to try something else. And now he want to try something else. And now he want to try something else. And then together y'all trying something else.
Uh-huh.
That something else that y'all trying don't cause y'all so much trouble that adultery going to come in. Because when you do it to him one time, that ain't going to be enough. That's just like what they said, when a person smoked crack, I don't know how, when that wasn't never my thing, but I would drink you up under the table when I used to drink. So when a person smoked crack for the first time, they go back to crack because they want that high again, but they never get it, so they keep smoking it. So that's the same gateway. When a woman does that to a man, I like the way that felt. Let me try. The devil be damned, okay? I'm dropping the mic. I ain't yielding nothing. I'm dropping it.
Wow.
I wonder who that was under.
I have to agree with you. Good. I ain't nobody messing with you. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, but
no,
I agree with her. Go ahead, sir.
I was wondering who that was under the table when I fell under there.
It was me.
Wow. Lord, help them. Help them.
Come on, Bishop.
No, but I was going to say I have to agree with her. See, first and foremost, when you talk about, you're talking perversion at this moment, you know, and that's really what it is. Regardless of anybody, whether they agree with me or disagree with me, it is perversion. And if God wanted, sex was created for two things, for enjoyment between one man, one woman, and for procreation, the two main purposes that sex, God allowed sex to be created. Now, when we allow our emotions and our inner workings to take us in places that we're not supposed to be, what we do is, somebody, she mentioned a gateway. You have opened the door for seducing spirits to come in. And see, that tells me right then and there, and I'm going to say this, and this doesn't go for everybody. Whoever's listening, somebody has a radio playing in the background and is really kind of disrupting the flow of what we're trying to do here. What you're literally doing is you're opening the gateway for seducing spirits to make their way into your life. Now, I'm not saying this goes for every man who might want his wife or girlfriend. I'm going to say wife or girlfriend because let's just be real. The saved as well as the unsaved are having sex. Let's just be real about that. And when you want a woman to penetrate your rectum, that one place of the place of waste, what you are doing now is setting yourself up for another lifestyle. That is the quote-unquote bisexual lifestyle or the homosexual lifestyle. The bisexual lifestyle, you understand, you just have a preference for both men and women because you've had that experience of being penetrated by, you know, through what you went through with your woman. And the homosexual lifestyle is where, and I think Brother Gabriel brought it up the best when he turned around and he said that we men, when we get to a certain age, that all night long effect is no longer in effect. If you get 3 to 7, and in some cases 12 to 15 good minutes, honey, if you ain't got yours, I see you in the morning, we'll try again. But see, there are some men who become so flustered with their sex life because they can no longer perform like they used to, or they could never perform the way they thought they ought to, and they underperform with women, and they get laughed at and ridiculed. So now they turn to the comfort of a man who supposedly shows them a level of caring, sharing, intimacy, and all the wrong feelings that they decide to have, to where they figure even if they don't penetrate, at least they can. Oh, Sister Teresa's on here, Sister Kimmy's on here, and Apostle Flight's on here. So let me try to change my words. They feel like they could milk the cow. Y'all read between the lines. No, I ain't going to be nice tonight. Let me just say, they start grabbing each other's weapon and start yanking until one of them starts spitting up. That's what goes on. So that's the lifestyle that they open themselves up to. Go ahead.
I just threw up in my...
Let me just share this.
I apologize, ladies, but we said real, raw, relevant. Let's be exactly that.
Okay, let me just share this with you as well. I am a prostate cancer survivor for 15 years so far.
Bless them, Lord.
Some of you may not have had the prostate problem, but it is a well-known fact that after your prostate cancer or surgery or radiation or whatever the treatment you might have, it is a known fact, especially if you have your prostate removed. However, I had external radiation, and it is a known fact, medical fact, that after a few months, a couple of years after your prostate surgery, your erection become very weak. And if you remember that, some of you might not remember this. Some of you might say you never had to use and things like that. There is a little pill called Viagra that has been used, and several others, to help to enhance the sexual activity during that time. However, mm-hmm. it is a known fact that the use of the continued use of if you violate the doses of that pill is subject to some tremendous and horrendous side effects such as blindness, heart attacks, and things of this nature. Now, also, let me just share this with you. If you ever have it, you might have heard of it. In the area of the neurologist, the oncologist and neurologist, they have, when I write, in my right section, or that I have gone to other sections since the cancer, they have, during my time, they had five different types of implants, implants or other services to enhance the quality of the man's sexual life. The main objective is to make it work effectively. It has to be, well, according to the group we had, it could be pleasurable if the wife, if the man and wife are communicating with it, are in agreement with the use of those implants. And some of those implants and various pumps and things of that nature work much better than it did when you were youth. Now, I'm saying that facetiously, but it's the truth. Now, there are some women that might, in our session, might feel that, they have these little negative thoughts about the use of it, and that deflates the man's ego. It demasculates him because he's already concerned about the loss of his proudness. And then there has to be a woman, the wife, who is in agreement to maintain that quality of sexual life. Now, if he's going to be degraded or not go along with it, then, of course, he's really going to, it demasculates him. And he's going to be moping around the house. Now, I'm telling you, please believe me. I know you guys know it. He will find other areas to satisfy himself. We know this. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it because it is a fact.
No, just say it straight out. Pornography is one of them. Keep going. Talk about it. You're there.
If he's not in agreement with him and with his little implant and puts that little button and he gets the erection that will stay as long as he, until he released that little button. Because I'm telling you, I just said a few minutes ago, after the 3 or 4 or 5 minutes or 6 minutes, I'm telling you, even when the blue pill wear off, as a lady told me one time, sometimes she's like having sex with a shooting pool with a rope because it doesn't.
Wow.
And that's how weak those things it is. But I'm telling you, what goes on in that bedroom between that husband and that wife? That is sacred within itself. That is with them. And as we mentioned a few last week, I think, when the wife or the husband, I would just say wife, will share, or the man too, at work, if they share their sexual activities with another friend, male or free man, I'm here to tell you, if he come out the fact that he cannot share with his buddy Joe that he has a problem maintaining the erection. Now, Joe, his buddy, and he has no problem with it maintaining the erection, might find himself sneaking over to the house as your friend and buddy, at the same time winking and blinking at your wife, and somehow that little communication will be made known that he is strong. And that goes on and on. And she might yield to that temptation. Do I need to go any further?
Let me.
You don't need.
You said a lot. You said a lot. So I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to ask this question. I want to ask this question because you brought it up. You know, there are men who have not had prostate cancer, but there are men who suffer from erectile dysfunction, meaning that, as you said, it's like dealing with a rope or dealing with a boiled spaghetti. It just kind of is just shriveled. So here's my question. Here's my question. Again, in line with safe sex, sacred sex, scandalous sex, my question becomes, is it okay for the wife to perform orally for the man to help him to get that erection? Listen to my question before anybody answers. Is it okay for her to do that, or is she better off letting him be and pleasuring herself with what Reverend Billy calls Bob? Somebody talk to me, please.
That's a pleasure that they would have to. If he needs some help, then of course it is her responsibility. But if she doesn't know these things and wondering like what's going on, bro, but y'all are sick of the heck out of me with that darn spaghetti. Y'all got to stop with that spaghetti. And I don't want no more spaghetti. But
get a lady some macaroni.
I don't even want no more. I don't want no more.
She don't want no pasta.
I want it. Hold it. But if he I think that should be a conversation that should talked about so that both of them can understand. You know, Viagra right now, I don't recommend anybody taking Viagra because they're putting CBD in it. And you can have an erection that can last for a long time, and then sometimes it can and might make you have a heart attack and or stroke. So natural way is always the best way. You gotta be open and honest with your partner, and I'm being for real. If that's the issue, there are some times when I've heard two men on the line tonight say that after the first 12 minutes, if you ain't got yours, I'm getting mine, you out of luck. There's other ways to please a woman than just by an orgasm. We may be upset that, you know, y'all in the first 15 minutes and we still trying to, you know, they used to have a song called Dance All Night. But, you know, it still does not open. I don't care what nobody say. If anybody don't like me, if you can like me, I don't care. I still will not invite anybody into my sacred bedroom. Bedroom is for me and my husband. I don't even like, and this is just me, and y'all know I'm getting married in a couple of months. I don't even like for people to come to my bedroom because my bedroom is a sacred place. That place is for me, him, and God. And then when I'm making love to my husband, my husband's making love to me. Okay, God, you know, it's okay. We're not going to praise is what I do when we're trying to do who. We ain't going to do that. We're going to be playing some in between the sheets and all night long, that kind of thing. But I don't care, ED, PD, just don't give me no STD. We ain't going to invite nobody else into that secret and sacred place. Because that will make a woman feel that when I'm not home, you might invite Susie over. Or it might make a man feel that when I'm not home, you might invite David over. Who? No. That's an insecure. You got so many gateways and so many unanswered questions. You got a lot of that going on. No. It's a no for me in my house. It's a no. And I ain't sorry. but it's a no.
So
and
then,
that's a strong
let one. Me ask this. So let me ask you something, Apostle Flife, and because this again, there are people who are dealing with this. They're trying to honor their marriage, and there are men who want to please their wife. There are men who do, right? And there's men who want to be pleased. But the thing is, like I said, they deal with this thing called erectile dysfunction. So is she not insulting him by bringing her battery-operated buddy into the picture so she can be pleased?
There you go.
I mean, yes and no, because that pleasure can hurt, get pleasure from Bob. And I'm talking about the battery-operated body. I ain't talking about Bob the Builder. Can help. I mean, it's different things. It's different things. As long as he's okay with it, both people have to be okay with it. But I'm not okay with somebody else coming in my. I'm gonna say that again, Apostle and Bishop and all those others. I'm not okay with him bringing Susie to my bedroom. I ain't okay with that.
And see, I'm not you're okay. saying something. You are saying something because you got to understand when you invite Susie, when you invite, you can invite Bob between you and the missus, especially. And I like thank you, Reverend Billy, for being candid in your sharing what you've shared, because a lot of us think, and I you know, I'll be 64 in a couple of weeks. And honestly speaking, and I'm being very transparent when I say this, this isn't to put my business in the street, but I look back when I was 15, which is when I actually became sexually active, and I look over my teenage years, and I look over my 20s and my 30s, somewhere around 45 or so, sex didn't mean that much to me anymore. And that was even when I was married. I mean, it was a take-it-or-leave-it situation. I'm at an age and stage now that if we have an intimate moment, meaning we develop intimacy in the early parts of the day and it carries through. Now, that's a different story for me. But, you know, there was a time, and please, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, vulgar, try to go over the top, Apostle. I'm just simply saying that when I was 15, 16, 17, it took nothing. Can I talk real plain, sir? I need permission from everybody. Just say go ahead, because I want to talk plain.
Man, come
plain,
on.
Plain,
this is
plain.
Real. This is raw. This is relevant.
All right.
Talk.
Make
when
it plain,
I
preacher.
Was a teen. When I was a 15 and a teenager and in my 20s, a boner was nothing. All I had to do was see your titties and see your vaginal, your camel toe,
no,
and I was up and
no.
ready to roll. I was
no.
up and ready to roll. Now, you know, Mr. Happy ain't as happy as he used to be. Mr. Happy looked up and said, okay, I'll see you in a little bit. I need to take a nap, you know? And so it takes a little extra to get going. Now, I'm just being real. Okay, it takes a little bit to get going. So if we're going to talk about sacred sex, the sacredness of the sex is when you minister to that woman's mind and you get her stimulated and she becomes intimate. Here comes the soft, subtle touch. Here comes the caressing of the breast, the rubbing of the booty. Here comes the running your hands up her side and over her belly and then eventually down into her vaginal area and, you know, kind of a little minor squeeze and then put a finger. You do all these little things to create a level of intimacy. But what you're doing right there is you are now making that connection that's God-oriented, God-ordained, God-sustained. Yeah, you might feel like you have ED, but God knows how to wake your stuff up. I promise you, when the moment's right. Now, when you're talking about scandalous sex, as you had talked about earlier, you know, I mean, you know, and I'm going to go down the line because when I was a young man, I learned what masturbation was and performed it a few times. Let's just be real about that. See, I'm sick and tired of us Christians trying to hide behind a title like we've never done anything wrong. Yeah, God forgave you, and yeah, he threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, but yeah, your weenie is out of whack because you whacked your weenie one too many times. So I'm sorry if your stuff ain't working right now because you turned around and played that guitar string one time too many. You just put yourself in that position. I'm just saying. Last thing I want to say is simply this. You talked about scandalous sex. You talked about sacred sex. Safe sex
can only happen when the man and the woman stay within the guidelines of what God permits for sexual intercourse. And it does talk about it in the book of Leviticus. It makes mention of it again in the book of Deuteronomy. Solomon talked about it a lot. If you want to go over and really hear some intimacy, go read the Song of Solomon. You can hear some real intimate stuff and how they feel about each other. But what they're doing is putting themselves in position so that when they do come together, their longing one for another becomes more intense. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just going to politely put the mic back on the desk and go sit down in my seat. Thank you for this time.
Well, let me just share this.
When you hear the word, say amen.
The prostate cancer, prostate is not the only one. The erectile dysfunction comes from stress and diabetes and certain other areas. And I know there was a question about the oral sex and to enhance it. If the blood is not flowing, that the oral sex will not do that as well. And I'm here to tell you. See, I am at the age. I say it again. I'm trying my best to be real. I am the desire never wanes. I am now 86 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My heart still thumps and get excited at the sight of a beautiful woman cross her lips, whatever it might be, a little stimuli. But I know I am at the age now that I can just at the time and the things happen with, I can just sit back and grin and think about once get up and go has been, because it's gone. Now, that being said, I will share this with you. My brother knows, and Chuck knows. They know. My urologist prescribed the vacuum pump for me. And the time that I had the pump, still got it. Just don't need to use it. I could thump my chest like an ape, and I could say, "Bull, I ain't scared of nobody now." That was, in all seriousness, that was the best thing that happened to me for a long, long time. Now, that being said, even with Bob and these other areas, and they give you this extended erection. If you're not in good shape, if you cannot walk a mile, a half a mile, a few blocks without huffing and puffing, or let's just put, if you're not in shape, that is a detriment as well. You have a strong erection, but you still, when you used to do 15 minutes, you might could do 5 because you're out of breath. And you have a full and extended erection. But your inability to sustain that your physical activity is just as bad. Just as bad. So there's no preference. You're just trying to have an immediate heart attack because you're not in shape. You have to go to the gym and do your little exercise. I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. And that is it. But, okay, I'm listening.
I really appreciate, like Bishop-elect said, you're being candid and you're being transparent and sharing. Because there are people who are battling with this. You've got people who are saying, I want to please my wife, I want to please my husband, but she can't please him primarily because the walls of her vagina cannot handle penetration. On the mm-hmm. flip side, he can't please her because, you know, again, he's struggling to get it up. And granted, you have the man who practices, masturbation, or as they said in the old days, choking the chicken. You know, it's sad to say it that way, but it is what it is. And I don't know the case with that, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I do know that, you know, sex in general, if you're having it at least twice a week, you're likely to live a little longer. However, mm-hmm. however, if you're taking certain stimulants, you're liable, I believe what Apostle Flight said, you're liable to hurt your heart and make your heart give out for being overworked. Mm-hmm. So again, here's the thing. We're trying to make sure that people have a clear picture of an honorable marriage, and watch this, of an honorable marriage with an undefiled bed. So we talked about safe sex, and there is something I haven't heard from Brother Otis Gabriel in a minute, but there was something that he said when he spoke about safe sex in the sense of not bringing a transmittable disease. So then, because if there is a transmittable disease, then that means that somebody is not honoring their marriage, or that means that somebody in the marriage is simply not keeping themselves clean. If a wife constantly gets a yeast infection, something is wrong. Let's just be truthful. Okay.
Apostle, you have a comment.
Come on here.
Okay. First of all, an honorable marriage is and sex is something that is of great eminence and something that is of distinction. Now, what causes that is who is judging, who the judges are. In a marriage, the husband and the wife are the activity individuals, and they are also the judges. Undefiled, or to defile it, it means you're breaking a contract. Now, once you begin to break the contract, it is no longer honorable. That is when you defile something, you go against it. But if the husband agrees with what the wife agrees, then according to the dictionary and the any type of definition, it is not defiled. The judges, which is the husband and the wife, the person who are involved in the activity are the husband and the wife. So it is agreeable. The contract is in place. They're not going against anything. Nothing is being debased, and it's not polluted. Now, the scandalous sex. Now, scandalous, it is only scandalous when it becomes public. If there is something that takes place in your home that is agreed upon by the husband and the wife, that is not a scandal. No one has been negatively impacted. No one. Now, so what a husband and a wife does in the home is up to the husband and the wife. And that is if a wife of the and the husband agree that they want to have a third party, that is nobody's business but the husband and the wife. And they try to keep that safe. Now, the social scientists, and you all know about this, it's been in the workplace since 1940. Myers and Briggs have identified 16 personality types. And those personality types, when practiced, would help people. And very few people could agree that that is something wrong with your personality. No, what is your personality type? If you're not breaking the law, if you're not breaking the wishes of your husband and or your wife, then you would have an honorable, undefiled sex and marriage.
Thank you. Now, but I do want to address that because you said something, and I want to show you something. And I respect you very much, sir. I really do. But now let's read the scripture again. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. It says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So, in fact, if a man and a woman who are married decide to bring in an outside party, while they may be okay with it, in essence, they go against what God has ordained. First thing is this. The Lord says that therefore this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to one another and become one flesh. So the only way I can become one flesh is with my spouse. That's one. Two, what happens is by inviting someone else, then eventually I become what is called a whoremonger in the sense that I'm indulging in unlawful sexual intercourse as a fornicator, and the same thing makes me an adulterer. And the Bible then says that God will judge that. Why? Because God never intended for a husband and wife to have a husband, a wife, and a sidekick chick or sidekick dude to intervene in that relationship. So even if they agree with it, then what happens is they are now approaching a reprobate place because it's not what God ordained. So therefore, if our life is governed by God, even in our marriage, if our life is governed by God, then we are mindful of what God wants. We are mindful of what God says. We are mindful of what God ordains. And if God made it that it is supposed to be one man and one woman, then it has to be safe because he made it for one man and one woman. And it has to be sacred because it was designed for one man and one woman. And it becomes scandalous anytime we go against what God has ordained for a husband and a wife. So it doesn't matter if we have the idea that, oh, this is what we want. Anytime it becomes what we want, we have automatically stepped away from what God ordained. That's the reality, and that's what keeps us from valuing the marriage, because it has been said a number of times tonight, and this is the thing that we must again agree upon, that it is the husband and the wife that God, if you will, joined together. And he said, let no man put asunder. So therefore, if I, as a husband, was to bring a third party into my marriage, what I've done, even if I've agreed, even if my wife has agreed with it, what I've done is I've signed an illegal covenant. I've signed an illegal agreement because why? God didn't sign off on it. It'd be great if God said, okay, son, you can have a wife and you can have a side chick to bring into the marriage. I'm going to say it like the late Bishop G.E. Patterson. He said, I know the Bible is right and somebody's wrong. He said, because he said, I done told you once and I done told you twice. You can't get to heaven with a sweetheart and a wife. So there is no way that your marriage will be honorable and your bed would be undefiled if you bring any other party into it. Now, you want to bring toys in? That's your business. I can understand that. You want to bring pornographic videos in? That's your preference. I can understand that. But if you bring another physical body into your bedroom, I am along with Apostle Flife. That is a no-no. Why? Because I don't want God to say, I'm displeased with the choice you have made, and then he turns me over to a reprobate mind. This has been an amazing discussion tonight. I am so grateful for each and every one of you for your input. At the end of the day, here's the reality. The Word of God remains in full, complete control and authority, and we have to submit ourselves to God through his Word, and that's how we can
can both honor our marriage and keep an undefiled bed. We are not out of talk. We're simply out of time for tonight. But I do invite you to join us again next Saturday. No telling where the Lord is going to take us, but I promise you we're going to have another great conversation. Thanks to each and every one of you. We pray that you have an amazing weekend. What's remaining? Amen. I'm looking forward to the next few days because I'm celebrating until the end of the year. I speak blessings upon y'all in Jesus' name. If you're married, I speak blessings to your marriage. But let me tell you something, sweetie, if you get tapped on the shoulder tonight, roll over. If you're single and you're getting tapped on the shoulder, you better tell somebody to get out and get in a cold shower because that's the reality. Why? Because your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Dr. Kimmy, I need you to do me a favor and drop that track. Until next time, we say go with God, and he will go with you. Shalom, shalom.
Get the oil out. I'm coming down the aisle.
Of God.